Tonight we are looking at Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 7 and 8, which you can find on page 968 in the back of your Psalter hymnals, page 968. Question and answer 7 and 8. I'll ask each of these questions and we can respond together with the answer. Question and answer 7, what are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His will, whereby, for His own glory, He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. How does God execute His decrees? God executes His decrees in the works of creation and providence. Our passage this evening is Ephesians chapter 1. So I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 14 this evening as we consider God's decrees, His plan. As we get ready to turn our attention to God's Word, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, we pray that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking His word to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, we panic, but God stays true to His sovereign plan. We wonder and we question, but God knows the end from the beginning. When it comes down to it, there's simply no panic or surprises in heaven. God never is anxious. There's never confusion among the Trinity. God never wrings His hand and wishes that He had made a different decision. He never worries about what's going to happen next or stresses out about how things are going to turn out. Before God began to create, God planned out how every single thing He would create would fit together exactly and how all of it would bring Him glory. He foreordained or gave orders and decrees in advance for everything that would exist and everything that would ever happen. That's why He's never surprised. That's why God is never caught off guard. He's never in a situation that overwhelms Him or a situation where He feels unprepared or like this one somehow slipped through His fingers. God isn't discouraged in the face of our own weaknesses when it comes to our faith or our own insecurities, our own wanderings. His plan isn't undone or it doesn't unravel because of our spiritual uncertainty or questions. In the face of our ongoing struggles in this life, God's plan continues just as it always has and always will. Because His plan isn't based on us, it's not dependent on our character, but rather on His, on who He is. Redemption doesn't rest on our strength, on our resolve, but on God's. Salvation doesn't hang in the balance based on our response or our abilities, but rather it's founded on God. And that's why we have hope. God has a purpose for everything that He made. He has decreed, He has planned, He has foreordained, He has elected, He has predestined all things. Everything that happens, everything that exists, all for His glory. And that's what we're looking at this evening. As we look at Ephesians 1, we are led to praise God for the grace that He has shown to us in choosing us before the foundation of the world. According to the purpose of His will, according to His plan, His will. And ultimately, third and finally, to the praise of His glorious grace. And so first of all, before the foundation of the world, in our passage here, Paul is giving us examples of God's decree. You can look at, there's lots of examples throughout this. Verse 11 is one. Actually, if you jump back to verse 10, here you have the plan for the fullness of time to unite all things. Well, making known to us His purpose. Go back to verse 9. So you have God's purpose. Actually, you could jump back even further. You have the mystery of His will. You have His purpose. You have His plan. And then you get to verse 11, and you have Him predestining all things according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. So there we have Paul hitting us from every different angle with God's will, His purpose, His plan, His election, His predestination, all getting at what we're discussing this evening, God's decrees. Now, what are God's decrees? Well, the decrees of God are His eternal purpose before the foundation of the world, His plan according to His purpose, according to His will, His decisions, which are made for His own glory. It's Him foreordaining all things that come to pass. Now, when did God make these plans, boys and girls? When did God make these decisions and give these orders and these decrees? Well, Paul's telling us that it was before the foundation of the world, before the world was even created. God had already made these plans, including everything that happens on the earth and in heaven. Even the events that seem to be outside of God's control. And He made these plans according to His will, the mystery of His will, according to the purpose which He set forth in Christ, freely making these plans. Now, a decree is an order. It's God foreordaining, God planning, God giving orders in advance for everything that happens. Nothing happens Nothing is created and nothing takes place unless God has decreed it, unless God has given that order, that direction, unless it's part of His plan according to His will. Even things that seem to go against God's purposes, the sad things, the hard things, the evil things, still fit and find their place within His plan. God foreordains what people will be and what they will do, and that His people will believe in Jesus. All things happen because God has planned it, foreordained it to happen for His purpose so that it will be accomplished. Now, some people, when they talk about God's plan and predestination, election, decrees, foreordination, whatever term you like to use, some people look at that and say, well, because God knows all things, He looked into the future and He knew what was going to happen, and so He planned accordingly. But when we look at the Bible, when we look at Scripture, Isaiah 46, for example, the picture that we're given is that things happen the way they do because God is the one causing them to happen. God doesn't just know what's going to happen, He's the one who's making it happen. Now, in general, when you talk about God's decrees or His plans from the 30,000 foot view, what we can say is that everything that happens, not only everything that He created, but also everything that takes place, our actions, our good actions, but even Him allowing the evil things to take place, is all part of His decree, His plan. Look at verse 11. Of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Now, when you zoom in, you can say a little more specifically that God ordains and He predestines or elects unto salvation. And that's what Paul is describing here. He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, verse 5, to the praise of His glorious grace. We have forgiveness because of His love. He's made known to us the mystery of His will. So when it comes to God's decree of election, this is also one of those decisions, plans, orders, decrees that was given before the foundation of the world. This is His eternal and unchangeable purpose, whereby out of His free will, His good pleasure, He has chosen in Christ those who would be saved unto everlasting life. Ultimately, for His glory. Look at verses 4 through 6 with me here in our passage. Ephesians 1, verse 4 through 6. Even as He chose us in Him. So there you have election before the foundation of the world. So when did this decision happen? Before creation. That we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us. So you have election and predestination for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ. According to what? The purpose of His will. All according to His plan, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has blessed us in the beloved. Now, practically, what this truth means for us is that before the world was even created, God already knew you, and He already loved you. He already chose you. He already knew that He would be saving you. He already made that decision. He had your name in mind before the foundation of the world. Before time began, God loved you before He said, "Let there be light." God said it and then He did it. What God says and what He does are basically the same thing because all God always does what He says He's going to do. But we still need to make a decision between the decrees and the plans, declarations, orders, foreordination, whatever you want to call it, that God makes before time begins, and then how that is worked out within history, how that plan works out practically. So, God electing, choosing you before the foundation of the world is His decree. And then that plan, that predestination election is worked out practically, not only in Him sending His one and only Son to live and die in your place, accomplishing your salvation, but now in the fullness of this time, once you come onto the scene, He fills you with the Holy Spirit, who's now applying what Christ has accomplished to you as that salvation and redemption is fully realized. All part of God's plan, all part of His decree, all according to His will. A decree that was given before time began. A decree, God's decrees are eternal. Isaiah 46 says, "For I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me." Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand and I will accomplish my purpose." And so when we say that God's eternal purpose or that God's decrees are eternal, what we mean is that God's eternal purpose is that God is ruling and directing things every moment of the day. God isn't some impersonal, distant force. He wound up creation, sent it on its way, and He could really care less how things turn out. No, He is actively involved each and every moment of the day within the creation that He has made. He personally governs the affairs of the world. I mean, boys and girls seeing that He's got the whole world in His hand, and it describes how He is actively involved and knows what He is doing and where He is going. It's part of the secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. That's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. Now here, Paul mentions, "My clock must be broken. How is it? I was supposed to gain an entire hour today and I'm already pushing 10 minutes. I'm sorry." Here, Paul is describing election and predestination. And as we're thinking about his decrees in general, as we're looking at what Paul is describing, the counsel of God's will, we can ask, well, what is the relationship between these decrees, these decisions, these plans and orders that God has made when it comes to electing unto salvation and predestination? And as we think about that and try to understand it, what you can imagine is that in our passage here in Ephesians, Paul is starting out with a really focused in, zoomed in perspective, and then he takes a step back to take in the larger picture. What I mean is this. Logically, predestination comes before election. Predestination, or God determining all things, predetermining, foreordaining all things, is the bigger category that the specific choice of election fits within. So when Paul is talking about him choosing us in Christ before the foundation of the world, he's talking about a very specific decree that was made. And then Paul starts stepping back when he talks about in love, he predestined us for adoption. So you take that adoption metaphor that Paul is working with, before the foundation of the world, your adoption, all your adoption paperwork was already finished. That plan, that decree, it's a done deal. Then within time, that plan is worked out. It starts to be fulfilled when that paperwork is signed and made effective by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that plan, that adoption can take place because of what Christ has accomplished. So when you are born within time, you are born as an adopted child of God. The work, the plan, the paperwork is finished. Even though you still look forward to the fullness of your inheritance to come. but because God does what he says he's going to do, you know that that's your future and your reality. God chose you before the foundation of the world, according to the purpose of his will. That's verse 5. According to the purpose of his will, all things according to the counsel of his will, if you pull in verse 11. We make plans. You make plans. As a family, you might make plans. Do your plans ever change? I mean, we often make plans for the day ahead and then have to change them on the fly because there's situations that are out of control. You make a plan to have a picnic and then it turns out that it's snowing in October and you have to change your plan. But when it comes to God, his plans never change. What are some of the differences between the plans that we make as humans and the plans that God decrees as God? Our plans change. They're inconsistent. I mean, they're inconsistent with what we know is right and good, but that's not the case for God. God will never act contrary to his character. In fact, actually, God shows his character by his actions. So because God is eternal, because he is unchanging, his plans, his decrees are eternal and unchanging. His actions flow from his love for his people. In contrast to that, our actions can be a mix of all kinds of motives, good, bad, or otherwise. Here we're seeing that the purpose of God's will was to choose people to save. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in him. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. And then Paul repeats that again in verse 11 when he's talking about us obtaining this inheritance. An inheritance we already have, but we do not yet fully experience. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Now we're adding the all things as part of God's plan and according to the counsel of his will. God's decrees are all inclusive. Now that's easy for us to think about or say, yeah, God's decrees, they cover everything. It covers creation. It covers us as people, who we are and the things that we do. But what about the hard and bad things in life? What about the things in life that people will say that this is outside of God's control, like the catastrophes of life? What kinds of events do people sometimes think are outside of God's control? The hard things, the sad things, the tragic accidents or the illnesses. Even these are within God's plan, are under his sovereignty. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This highlights another aspect of God's plans, his decrees. God's plans stand forever. He not only has recreated us in Jesus Christ, but he's also planned to use our good works as a way to mature us and grow us in Christ. For the foundation of the world, he's worked all things prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What does that mean for you in your day-to-day life, in your walk with the Lord? The things that we do each day are part of God's plan, and it's demonstrating his gracious workmanship, and it's ultimately for his glory. But what about the wicked things that people do? What about the wicked things that we do? Are those things included in God's great plan? Acts 2 verse 23 explains how Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. Christ's crucifixion was part of God's decree and His plan, part of His definite plan and foreknowledge. And how was Christ's crucifixion accomplished? How was God's plan worked out? You crucified and killed Him by the hands of lawless men. So there in Acts 2 verse 23, we see that God even uses wicked people to accomplish His purpose. The decree of God included Jesus' death at the hands of the wicked. Even though they were acting against God, they were accomplishing His purpose. If you're here this morning and you heard about the Assyrians and God raising them up to discipline and punish Judah, that's exactly the same thing. All part of His plan. And think about Joseph and what his brothers did to them. Their intention in doing that, but how God worked that for the good in Joseph delivering and saving his family from starving during the famine. Genesis 50. Now, does this mean that God is the author of sin? No, not at all. When we say that God has planned everything, we can't leave sin out of the picture, but Satan is still the author of sin, even though what Satan does is under God's control and included in God's plan. Which is not in a way that makes God the author of sin. The fact that God is sovereign over sin and wickedness, the fact that God's plan includes the wicked actions of men, doesn't make the suffering that we go through or the pain that we experience any less real or any less severe. This doesn't make the deeds of sinful people good, because, well, it's part of God's plan. God promises that He will never leave us or forsake us, that He will work all things for the good of those who love Him. Now, does this mean, as we think about God's decree and His plan, does this mean that we're just like a bunch of robots or pawns on a chessboard? It's all planned out. It's all figured out. We're just going through the motions. No, it does not. The decrees of God do not in any way weaken or destroy our own responsibility. This is another one of those mysteries of God that we must accept by faith, even though we don't understand it. We fully affirm God's complete sovereignty on the one hand, and we fully affirm man's responsibility on the other. You can think of James 1 verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I'm being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. You're responsible. Well, wait a second. God's sovereign. This was all part of His plan. I have no control. Nope, that excuse does not work. Here's what Gerhardus Voss explains. The Bible teaches both God's foreordination and man's responsibility. Therefore, we should believe and affirm both, although we frankly recognize that we cannot harmonize the two. If we give up belief in either God's foreordination or man's responsibility, we immediately become involved in gross errors which contradict the Bible's teaching at many points. It is better and wiser to accept what the Bible teaches in simple faith and confess a holy ignorance concerning secret mysteries which have not been revealed, such as the solution to the problem of divine foreordination and human responsibility. Nothing surprises God. There are no accidents, nothing slips through His fingers, it's all part of His plan. and nothing upsets that plan. Now, how does knowing that comfort or encourage you when the unexpected things happen? Or when you're worried about the future? How does knowing these things about the decrees of God change your perspective when you've experienced an accident or a tragic event? How does knowing about God's plan and His decrees help when you're uncertain about the decisions that you need to make, or when your plans change, or even when life seems out of control or chaotic, like we saw in Psalm 55? We panic and freak out, but God stays true to His sovereign plan. Nothing rattles Him. He knows the end from the beginning, and we can trust in our God who ordered everything and is in control of all things, even the hard things, ultimately for His glory. And that brings us to our third and our final point. To the praise of His glorious grace. Why did God do all of this? Why did He elect before the foundation of the world and predestine and adopt in Jesus Christ? Ultimately, the reason behind all of this is for God's glory. Boys and girls, why were you created? Or another way you could answer that question or ask the question is, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Now, is it wrong or is it arrogant for God to seek His own glory? Doesn't that seem kind of arrogant that the reason everything exists and there is this plan in place is so that God receives all of the glory? No, it's not wrong, because everything exists for God's glory. For us as humans, if we were to be seeking our own glory, that would be wrong. That would be selfish. That would be sinful, because we were created to give glory to God. God is the author and the creator of all things. It is right, it is good, it is proper that He should receive the glory and the honor in all things. That's God's purpose. I think of the Romans doxology, Romans 11, when Paul breaks out into that beautiful doxology after describing all of the doctrines of salvation. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. I mean, Paul's expressing it here in Ephesians as well. You look at verse 6 and it's to the praise of His glorious grace. You jump down to verse 12, to the praise of His glory. And then at the end of verse 14, to the praise of His glory. This is the reason why God has given these orders, these decrees. This is why He has elected and predestined. It's for His own glory. And it's not that He somehow is making Himself more glorious by these decisions. He's already fully glorious. That's who He is. What's going on here is He wants us to see His glory, to recognize it, to rejoice in it. And what is God's glory? It is His amazing and majestic living character and His attributes. It's who He is and what He has done. And we respond by praising Him, glorifying Him, honoring Him. And the more we know God, the more we learn about God, the more we study His Word and He's revealed to us, the more our response is to glorify and praise Him. Could bring Jesus into the mix here, who is the glory of God the Father revealed, God in the flesh, glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God has a purpose, a plan for everything that He has made and for everything that happens. And His purpose is His glory. And we praise Him, glorify Him for the grace that He has shown to us in choosing us to be His before the foundation of the world. according to the purpose of His plan, His will, to the praise of His glorious grace. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before You, Lord, and we praise You and we thank You for who You are and for what You've done. For the decrees, the plans, the choices, the orders that You gave before the foundation of the world that have worked themselves out and have been accomplished throughout time and will be accomplished because what You say happens. We praise You that we belong to You, Lord, in Jesus Christ. And it's our prayer that no matter what we face in the week ahead, no matter what challenges or questions or worries we might come across, we will step back and remember who is sovereign, who is in control, and how all things are falling into place and working out according to Your plan. Lord, let that comfort us. Let that encourage us as we live each day for Your honor and glory. Lord, hear our prayer, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.